Parshas Bishlach contains one of the more confounding and ambiguous and just not clear stories in the entire Torah. And I'm of course referring to Yaakov's mysterious encounter with some ish, with some man that he seems to have some wrestling match with, and they sort of come to a draw at the end. All night they're fighting. In the morning, they're still going at it, and the ish, the man, harms, hurts Yaakov in his thigh, and eventually, he asks Yaakov to let him go. Yaakov says, "I'm only going to let you go if you first bless me." And the person asks him what his name is. Says, "My name is Yaakov." He says, "No, your name is no longer Yaakov, but rather it's Yisrael." And then Yaakov asks him, "What's your name?" He says, "Why are you bothering me with my name?" And that's it. And that's the end of the story. And again, it just lacks, just reading the simple pshat, the simple words of the Torah. It's just there's so much missing from the story. There's so much information. What's the purpose of recounting this incident? What's the takeaway? There's an interesting insight by the Das Zakenim, the Bali HaTosfos, the Tosfos, famous for their commentary on the Gemara. So there's also Rashi's grandsons and the whole school of Torah learning that lasted for a couple hundred years in the Middle Ages. They also have a commentary on the on Chumash, Das Zakenim, the Bali HaTosfos, and they say that we know that the Torah tells us that after this incident, the Jewish people were forever prohibited from eating the Gid HaNasha, right? That the sciatica nerve, that area around the sciatic nerve. And so the Das Zakenim says that it was a punishment to the Jewish people, to Yaakov's children, because the whole story begins, Vayivaser Yaakov Levado, the Yaakov was left alone, and the children should have been with him. They should have been protecting him. And the fact that they weren't with him. So as an eternal reminder that we have to be responsible and take care of one another and to not allow someone to be placed in a vulnerable situation. So that's why we're not allowed to eat that part of the animal, the area around where Yaakov was injured, to always remember that critical lesson. So that's just interesting as an aside, that what's he doing by himself? Why is he all alone? But then, I think a little more critically, so who is this person that he's encountering, and why is this important? Why does the Torah, tell us about this incident? So famously, we know that the Rashi, quoting Chazal, tells us that this was Saro Shel Esav, that somehow this was Esav's heavenly representative, some sort of angelic figure in a human form that he's encountering, and the night before he's about to physically, come in contact with Esav, he first has to battle this heavenly representative of Esav. But that just begs the question: what's that all about? He's going to encounter Esav the next day. Why is he? Shouldn't Yaakov's heavenly representative encounter Esav's heavenly representative? It seems to be unfair. Right, why he's going to encounter Esav anyway tomorrow? So why does he need to encounter the Saros Shel Esav the night before? So I want to take a step back and just share some of the possibilities. Look at the Mefarshim. Everyone struggles with this and tries to understand what this is all about. Some suggest, like the Ramban, that this was a message to Yaakov moving forward in terms of what would unfold for his children, not only his children, but all his future descendants. And that this encounter represented the eternal, unfortunately, internal struggle that the Jews always would face with their enemies. In other words, that the Saro Shel Esav is this heavenly representative is basically that there's anti-Semitism, that there unfortunately are always people who are out to harm the Jewish people. In fact, the Ramban, quoting the Medrash, says that this represents Rome, and that certainly the Jewish people during the times of certain persecutions during a Roman rule over Israel, that often there was, it wasn't just that the Romans were ruling over Israel, but often there was times of terrible suffering and persecution. Jews were killed and murdered and our leaders and we would often be injured, right? The symbolism of being striking his thigh is that the Jewish people would be injured, would be diminished in number. And then the Ramban powerfully says, the Medrash is talking about the times of the Roman period, where the Ramban fast forwarding not 1,000 years later. But almost 1,000 years later, the Ramban, who now has unfortunately the vantage point of an additional 1,000 years of history, knows what's happened, certainly with the Crusaders and other horrible things that have befallen the Jewish people. He says it's just this unfolding occurrence within Jewish history of terrible suffering that we have endured, but the one, I guess, glimmer of hope, of a little bit of light, that we will not be destroyed, that we will be able to withstand, we will be able to ultimately prevail as Yaakov ultimately prevails. And somehow this is, part of our history, part of what we're going to go through within our exile. But the Jewish people will never be lost. The Jewish people will never be destroyed. And therefore, on some level, it's a message of hope, and a message to us not to give up, and to recognize that we are an eternal people, and no matter what our enemies throw at us, we'll always be here. So that's the Ramban, and several others take that approach as well as the Ramban. On the other end of the spectrum, I saw the Radak and several others. They take this this entire incident on some level, as Yaakov making a mistake in this situation. In other words, that Yaakov, what had taken place beforehand? In other words, why does this thing occur? Because Yaakov knows he's going to encounter Esav. And what does he do to encounter Esav? So famously, three things he does, right? He sends gifts, he prepares for battle, and he davens. And on the surface, that I would think that sounds great. That's what he's supposed to do. Try to appease, try to make peace. If that doesn't work, be ready for war. And of course, daven, turn to Hashem and, tefillah. But the Radak suggests that, he uses a very strong term, ubezeh chata. He says, Yaakov sinned. He made a terrible mistake here. He should have placed more trust in God. The fact that he sent them all these gifts, all these presents, the fact that he keeps on referring to Esav as Adoni, Adoni, my master. Why is he doing that? Right? Hashem has told him. He told him when he ran away from Esav, and he had the dream from in last week's parsha, beginning of Vayetze, the ladder. Wherever you go, I'm going to watch over you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to protect you when you leave. I'm going to protect you when you come back. Don't worry. And so what's Yaakov at this point, basically, being unable to move forward and trying to completely appease Esav and falling all over himself in terms of giving words of endearment towards Esav. Why didn't he remember what Hashem promised him? Didn't he have the confidence and the faith that things would be okay? Because he doesn't do that, so God sends him this ish, this mysterious man. Who appears to him. And, in the Mefarshim debate, I think the Rambam's of the opinion that this whole thing was a dream, right? That really have a fight with some sort of angel, but it was a dream. But the Radak says, no, it wasn't a dream because he was injured. So clearly it was a real person who fought him. And it was because he was not approaching this correctly. And only with God's mercy that he ultimately prevails, and he's able to finally the next day to go and to encounter Esav. So you have these two very different approaches. This approach of the Ramban basically saying that Hashem is telling Yaakov, this encounter with Esav is not going to be the last encounter that you and your children are going to have. This is going to be an ongoing challenge that you will face, you and your descendants, but you will prevail. No matter what happens, God is reassuring us that we will, you know, we're eternal and we will always be here, and ultimately we will come out ahead. And at the Radak, a very different perspective, is suggesting that this is a mistake, the wrong tactic, that that we need to have the confidence and turn to Hashem and place our trust in God, and be proud of who we are, and you know, and through that Hashem will be with us to protect us. So those are, like, I think, the two major approaches to this. There's a fascinating approach. I want to give two more quickly. There's a fascinating approach by the Rashbam, totally like opposite of all of this. And the Rashbam says, reads the Pesukim very differently. Again, the way the story goes is that, you know, Yaakov's approaching to Esav. He sends the messengers, he sends the gifts, gets ready for war, splits up the camp, and he's preparing, you know, to encounter Esav. He's left alone. Why is he left alone? Either he went back, according to the Chazal, Rashi quotes, so he left something, some small jars, he went to get them, or he's left alone because he's the last one to pass. He makes sure everyone passes over, you know, the brook that they need, the body of water. He's just alone at that point. He's vulnerable, and this person encounters him. But the Radak is like, the Rashbam says just the opposite. You know why he was left alone? It's not because he was approaching Esav, but because he decided the last moment to run away from Esav. And that what was happening is that he was causing the family to cross back over this, Yavoris Me'avor Yabok, this Yabok stream. And, you know, because he became afraid. He felt like it wasn't a good idea. And, the Rashbam says, "Niskavin livroach." He decided to flee. Derech acheres lafichach avar hanacha b'layla, and therefore at night they crossed over this, you know, this nachal, the stream of water. He says, like you see with David HaMelech, David flees from his son Avshalom. Kamo shaltzina b'David v'baruch b'nei Avshalom v'drach malalo shayardim, and so Yaakov was running away that night, unwilling, unable, fearful from encountering Esav. And so what happens? Hashem sends the Sar Shel Esav to tell him that he can't run away, to stop him from running away. And all night they're struggling, and Yaakov is trying to get out of there, but he's unable to it. So what happens? So, and this is very powerful, the Rashbam says, why does he injure him at the thigh? In order to prevent them from running any further. Because if he injures his leg, he can't move. And he's going to have to turn around to confront Esav, who's coming towards him. And so basically what's happening, Hashem is forcing Yaakov at this moment that there's no more running. That it's time to, front and center to confront what's there. And to deal with the challenges that are before you. And, it's interesting. So what happens next? Right, he asks for a name. Right, he says, what he says, you know, give me a blessing. So he asks for a blessing. And so the angel says, what's your name? He says, Yaakov. So what's Yaakov? I'm not sure if the Rashbam says this, but I just thought of this, that Yaakov is the heel, right? He's holding on to the heel, right? It's always that, like, that you're not in charge, right? You're trying to catch up, or you're trying to grab onto something, but you need to take charge, right? You need to take the lead. You need to take the initiative, and so that's why he says your name needs to be Yisrael. That you need to fight, right? Ki sarita imelokim ve'im anashim v'atuchal. Right, don't be the one holding on to someone else and being, you know, second fiddle to someone else. But it's time for you to, for history to unfold and for you to, to chart how history will play itself out. You take the lead. You take the initiative. And so that's what it could be. Interesting tonight that in Shul we had a Mashiach came he comes every year of Shalom Cohen from Yad Lachim, which is an anti-missionary. They do, unfortunately, they have to do all this work to save often Jewish women who are taken as wives, get lured and be taken wives into the by Arabs or whatever. He always speaks every once a year when he comes to Shul and comes collecting. So he said something very beautiful. He said that what happens next is Yaakov asks, "What's your name?" Right? What's Yaakov wants to know, what's your name? And he said, "Why are you asking my name?" And so what Cohen said, what he was, I think, based on this is connecting to the Ramban, the name's not important because it can be the Romans, it can be the Christian Crusaders, it can be Arab terrorists, it can be the Cossacks. It's all there, right? It's not like you defeat the Romans, everything's going to be okay. All right, this is going to be a challenge throughout history. Right? Don't focus on the name. Focus on the larger issue. But I want to suggest, based upon this idea that that it's Yaakov who has to recognize that he has to confront this issue. Right? When he asks them, what's your name? And he says, why are you asking me what my name is? The answer is that Yaakov, make for yourself a name, right? Like don't hold on to that heel of Esav. You can surpass Esav, right? You yourself can take charge, can take the lead, right? Don't always look over your shoulder, right? And wonder, what are other people thinking about me, or how can I be like someone else? Just you yourself. And that could be one final approach to all of this. I think I first saw that. I think Rabbi Golden makes this point. Rabbi Shmuel Golden is a very beautiful sefer, English sefer, unlocking the Torah text on Parsha Shavua. So if I remember correctly, I read this a couple of years ago. I believe he says that perhaps who the person was that Yaakov was fighting on this night. Perhaps the Ish was himself. Right, that perhaps he's struggling with himself and with his own identity and trying to figure out, am I ready? Right, his entire life he's been running. His entire life he's been second fiddle. His entire life, he's been sitting in the tent, and it's his brother who's been out on, in the field taking the initiative, running away. And constantly I'm dealing with Lavan and all the games of Lavan, plays. And now's the time for Yaakov to figure out, who am I? Am I willing to, take the baton from my father and from my grandfather and to become, and to lead the people that God has entrusted me with? To create this great nation, and so all night he's struggling himself. As again, you can take the approach that this wasn't necessarily like a malach, sort of like in a dream, and he's sort of like struggling, with his identity and what's going to become of him, and all night long, he has this struggle, and it's in the morning where he finally, when he finally comes to the realization that the light appears. And that he's still there, and he gets injured. Like he's sort of like, when you start struggling and second guessing yourself, so you can be unable to move forward. It's just sort of like being hit in the leg, and you can get in this rut and being unable to move. But he basically tells himself at this moment, I can't be Yaakov forever. Right? I need to be Yisrael. I need to be someone who can encounter great challenges and be able to overcome them. And again, what's your name? It doesn't matter what the struggle is, because there's always going to be struggles. All right, there's always going to be roadblocks placed in front of you. Right? Then the moment that you overcome one, another one's gonna emerge. All right, that's life. That's unfortunately, this world. That's how this world operates. But and the idea of not eating, the Gid HaNasha, is that constant reminder that we're going to be wounded, There's going to be these constant battles, but the goal is to get up the next morning and then to go confront them, to go and to approach Esav, and not to run away from Esav, but to rather to recognize that I can deal with it, all right? And I make my preparations. Again, unlike the Radak who's critical of Yaakov, maybe you do need to try to appease, and you need to prepare for the war, and you certainly need to turn to Hashem and davening. You do all that, and then you deal with the issue, and then you head on. You confront it, and you address what comes before you. So this approach is very powerful. Again, it's the struggle with oneself, with one's own doubts, and with the confusion that we sometimes have, and the times when we question ourselves and our abilities and our capabilities. Are we able to march forward? Are we able to overcome? And it's a struggle, and you should struggle. You need to think about it, to wrestle with it, right? You need to wrestle with these issues. But ultimately, we need to take the lead of Yaakov and to be able to ultimately to overcome. So I think what emerges is that this particular incident is it's very powerful. It's very critical. This was the turning point, really, in Yaakov's life. And it wasn't like his life was going to get any better at this point. In fact, it was going to continue to get worse and worse. Right? He's about to have the issue with Dina in a moment. And he's about to, he's going to have to, he's going to confront the death of Rachel. And he's going to mention Yosef. It's not going to end. It's not going to end. But life is about how we navigate those challenges, and how what we make of them, what we learn from the mistakes, and what we learn from the encounters that we have, but not to retreat, and not to fall back, and not to hide, but to deal with things as they come. Hopefully, learn. Hopefully, gain. Hopefully, be emerge unscathed. And hopefully accomplish. Hopefully, hopefully that we'll be blessed. And hopefully that we won't have to deal with so many of these challenges. But knowing that that's the way life is, instead of running away, the better approach, the approach that we learned from Yaakov, is that we struggle and we deal. And we address the things, and hopefully we're ultimately able to overcome and be deserving not of the name of Yaakov, but ultimately of the name of Israel. Okay, wish everyone a wonderful...